All right, this is KKFN and KKFN HD 111 Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by Smart Local Union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are the drive. And shifting gears from the Nuggets. Hey, real quick, tomorrow you can join us for the first stop of the drive's brouhaha. All right, in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden, we will be there from 2 to 6 tomorrow. All right, so come say hello. Come grab a picture with Phil. Maybe bring something for him to sign. He is great with that stuff. And if you want more details, you can head to denversports.com/drive. All right, man, rolling downhill. Final hour on a Thursday leading up to a just massive, massive weekend. All right, the NFL draft is 1 week from today. Business is about to pick up around here. We heard from Sean Payton and George Payton earlier today. And, you know, it's what the hell are the Broncos going to do in the first round? We still don't know. George was asked about moving up earlier today.
Yeah, I would just say if it's a player you think can change the landscape of your organization moving forward like a quarterback, then you do whatever you take to get him. And if there's a consensus in the building, a love in the building, and you're aggressive and you try to get him, doesn't mean you're going to get him, but you try. And so we're open to everything. We're wide open.
Although he didn't say like one thing, Matt, like one thing that's going to lead SportsCenter right there, I believe that they believe that. I think that's an authentic response of like, if we can find a guy, yeah, we may not get him, but we'll try. If we think a guy can alter this franchise, we will try to go get him.
Yeah, I think that they're being sincere with that situation. Like, why would you not try? All right, we're in a situation where we need a quarterback. We need some kind of life here, some kind of thing that's saying, okay, we're moving in the right direction. And if that means moving up to get the quarterback that you want, you got to try. But also, you know that just because you try does not mean you're going to succeed at it.
Yeah, true.
You know? So my whole thing about that is, if you try and you fail to get who you want, do you have a really, really solid plan B or another 1A, 1B situation where you know that no matter what, we're going to be in a good situation? That's what I'm more concerned about. What's going to happen? Because you don't know what's going to happen in this draft.
No.
Okay, this is not a perfect draft. Everybody thinks one thing, and all of a sudden one thing happens, somebody drops, and it's the end of the world. So are we prepared for that?
Well, are you prepared to get a little bit uncomfortable?
I like being uncomfortable.
You do?
I live in it. Every time I sit in this seat, when I look at you, I get uncomfortable.
Here's what I mean. ESPN's Bill Barnwell, all right, he does this thing annually, okay, and it's an all-trades mock draft. It's definitely gimmicky, but Barnwell is not a big opinion guy. He's like a more informational guy. So I think there's value in looking at what trade he put together for the Denver Broncos because it lives within reality, the trade. Whether it actually happens, I don't know. I don't know the future here. But he put together a trade. And it involves Pat Surtain. Mm. Okay? Throw it out to the listeners. I have a couple here from our number one that we never read, but I want to hear from our listeners on this. You can hit up the ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Would you do this trade? Bill Barnwell suggests that the Broncos do a trade with the Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh, where'd that come from?
Well, I think this is why Barnwell's Barnwell, because it's rooted in history, which I love. It's rooted in substance, a trend that you could point to and say, they're the type of team that has a profile to make this trade. And what I mean is the Rams, and this is, I'm quoting Barnwell, the Rams have not used a first round draft pick. Phil, it's 2024. They haven't used a first round pick since 2016. All right. And he says those picks have generally gone toward young talent with cost control remaining in their deals, the exception being Matthew Stafford. But he said they've used these first-round picks to acquire receiver Brandon Cooks, corner Jalen Ramsey, and they attempted to make another move for Brian Burns. He said in each case, they were targeting a young player who had already established himself as a star on a rookie contract, and the Broncos have one of those guys.
Which is smart. right? When you go into the draft, you don't know what you're getting. You know, it's a wild card. It could hit, it could not. But when you get a player that you know is promising, that his stock is rising, yeah, I'm going to have to pay some money for him. But this is what it's about. This is what the NFL is about. It's about winning games and playing and paying the players that deserve to be paid. Pat Surtain deserves to be paid. And if you let him go and he hasn't even hit his peak yet,
right,
and you let him go to someone like the Rams where they are successful as well, especially with the draft and when it comes to free agency, they do a good job. It's just it's a hit. It's a higher reward than a risk now because you have a player that you know can play in the NFL where we just get draft picks and we just keep throwing at a dartboard until we hit the middle of it.
Yeah, and there's different approaches. That's just been the Rams approach.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting, within the same league, these teams can have just totally different approaches. Like Green Bay, historically, they're not into free agents. They're draft and develop. Just decade after decade, it's kind of who they've been. Rams, this is their new mantra. They don't want the first-round picks. Not that they don't want them, but they don't value them enough as established players. The Broncos have a guy that fits this bid. It's Pat Surtain. Okay, we've been talking about this for a long while here. But here's the package. I'm going to bounce it off you, bounce it off our listeners. Would you be into this? We'll bounce it off Troy Rank here in the next couple minutes. In this scenario that Barnwell constructed, the Broncos would send Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick 2 years from now to the Rams.
Mm.
Okay? In exchange, the Denver Broncos would receive from Los Angeles the 19th overall pick in this year's draft, next year's Rams first-round pick, and the 99th pick in this year's draft as well. So you're going to get a first-round pick this year, a first-round pick next year. Now, these might not be great picks. If the Rams are good, you might be picking 25th, yes, fifth instead of fifth.
For sure.
But it's a first-round pick this year, which we know is the 19th pick, next year's first-round pick from the Rams, and a third-round pick that's the 99th overall pick. And once again, in exchange for Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick in 2 years, would you do it?
Whew, you guys keep picking on my boy PS2, man. And I know you love PS2. We all do.
Yeah, we're not picking on him. He happens to be the best player and the only guy that could be a part of this conversation.
And it's a blessing and a curse for that.
It is.
You know, first what goes through my head is, am I willing to give PS2 $100 million? At first, I got to see that. Like, am I okay with giving him $100 million knowing that even if I give him this $100 million, we may not win a lot of games?
Because you haven't won a lot of games
them. You haven't. The other question is, the 12th and the 19th pick of this draft, can this move me up to number four? Can this get me to number four? That's number one.
The 12th and the 19th pick
of this draft.
Of this draft, you probably need one other piece. Not a huge piece, but it might be one of your third-round picks, because now you'd have multiple third-round picks in this scenario, too.
For sure. Okay, so tell me this. The 12th, the 19th pick of this draft, and also the first that the Rams just gave me. Pretty much everything that the Rams gave me, I'm going to give for the number four or the number three spot. See if the Patriots want it. I'm going to go high.
Oh, you're going up to number three.
Why not? You don't swing for it, you don't know.
Yep, you don't, because they may take JJ.
For sure.
We just don't know.
And so, JJ, if JJ's the guy.
Or maybe it's Drake May. I wasn't trying to be fun. I wasn't trying to be cheeky.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's JJ or Drake May right there, right?
Yep.
Right now, that's what it's looking like.
Yep.
Do I think that this can get me to number four, number three? For sure, number four. If the answer is yes, and I love JJ, then I'm going to make this trade. All right? But if the answer is no, I don't know, because what the Vikings have, what somebody else has, then I don't know if I'm going to do this. You know, I don't know if I'm willing to make that trade right now. It looks good on paper with the first round draft picks, but if I can't get the guy I want this year, you know, then I just have another first round draft pick to get another best player for our team, but not the quarterback position.
Yeah. Quick sampling on the RamosLaw.com text line. PSU is by far my favorite Bronco. That being said, I would do this trade in a heartbeat every day and twice on Sunday. Unfortunately, I think it's a pipe dream.
Mm.
Someone else says, love PS2, but those picks could help the Broncos in a rebuild. Someone else says, you only make that trade if you're repackaging and going up for a quarterback. Mm. Let's bounce this off Troy Rank, Denver Post columnist. Troy, we're reacting to fictitious scenario, but as an exercise from a guy that I really respect from an informational standpoint, Bill Barnwell. He put out a potential trade, and here's the construct of it. You tell me if you would or how much you would consider it. All right. Doing a deal with the Rams, who have shown a propensity to trade their first-round picks. They haven't picked in the first round since 2016, all right? And most of those picks have generally gone to young talent with cost-control contracts. In this scenario, the Broncos trade PS2 and a future fifth-round pick in 2 years, and in exchange get the 19th overall pick from the Rams, next year's first-round pick from the Rams, and the 99th overall pick in the third round from the Rams. Do you do that deal?
Yeah, I don't like that deal. I mean, they need the draft capital for sure. But the problem is those picks in the future year, the Rams are going to be good. That pick's going to be at the bottom of the first round. And so if I'm trading, I think your texter said, if I'm moving Pat Surtain to get a quarterback and getting the 19th pick, if you're going to say then follow the breadcrumbs, then you turn around and use your 11th or the 12th pick and the 19th pick to get up to get a quarterback, I guess then we're talking. For me, that's Jaden Daniels. And if it's not Jaden Daniels, I don't really have a great appetite for it. I would consider it for Drake May. I would not do it for J.J. McCarthy. But I understand the proposal because the Broncos have a needy roster. There's so many holes, and that is a real situation with them. But I'm not trading Pat Surtain for that. I just – it's too – because it would depend then on trading that 19th pick with the 12th pick to move up. If I'm moving him, it's in one deal to move up with a team that has the third or fourth pick.
Troy, and I know you've seen the press conference and heard the press conference today. How do you feel about that? How do you feel? Do you feel like they have a plan at number 12?
Well, then they do. The problem is they don't know who they're taking because it really depends on how the board falls in front of them. I wrote today in a column that will show up here in the Denver Post shortly, they're going to take a quarterback. I just don't know when. I walked away from that press conference. I was out there firmly believing they're going to take a quarterback, but when? And so if it's not in the first round, do you take Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt on day two? I think that's definitely in play. I would take a flyer on Rattler before Pratt just because of the upside. The turnovers are a challenge with him, but, I mean, he's a first-round talent in terms of the tools. But when you look at it, Phil, if you're going to move up, and Sean Payton, again today, repeated what he said at the owners' meetings, that it's possible, that it's on the table. If you're going to move up to three or four with the Patriots or Cardinals, you have to be for it has to be for a guy. You can't move up just for a quarterback is what I'm saying. It's got to be because you've identified Drake May or J.J. McCarthy as your guy. It can't be we're trading up, and whoever's there at quarterback, we're going to take. No, the price is too high. So if you're going to do it, it has to be because you have one or two players there in mind. And I doubt they have two, knowing Sean Payton. It's more likely one, and it's probably more likely it would be J.J. McCarthy than Drake May. But that said, it's still on the table. And let's be honest, it'll be a buzzkill if they don't take a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah.
If they take a cornerback in the first round, I may lose it. Mm-hmm. Literally, my veins pop out of my head. But you could argue they'd be fine to take a tackle and trade Bowles during the draft and trade Sutton during the draft. You could take Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia. I wouldn't have real issue with that. It would stink not to get a quarterback. But I don't like taking Bo Nix at 12 because I just don't think he's barely a first-round talent. I don't like taking him 12. But, again, quarterback's overvalued, and if he's your guy and he's sitting there at 12 and he doesn't take any draft pick compensation, you can make an argument for it. I'm not a huge fan of the Knicks at 12 at all because I don't think he's even close to the 12th best player in this draft.
Troy, here's where I stand on if they walk away from the first round without a quarterback, all right? They didn't do anything in free agency, all right? And they've been studying the landscape of the first round for months. Say it is a Spencer Rattler or Pratt. And even if they draft a Brock Bowers, who I think is awesome and we all love, I think, if they go into the 2024 season with Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci, and Spencer Rattler as their quarterback room, One, it's the worst quarterback room in the entire National Football League, unequivocally. But two, it will tell me that there was some sort of miscalculation along the way. Where? Not exactly sure. I'll let each fan fill that blank for himself. But I find it impossible to believe that the Broncos entered the offseason on the heels of 2023 and said, hey, our plan is going to be a mid-round quarterback, Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci or Zach Wilson or some other thing like that. It would speak to me a miscalculation. What do you think?
Well, it could be. I would then argue if that's it, it's that they were going to go right back into the draft the following year because this is a reboot, rebuild, Febreze, refresh, whatever you want to call it. They are completely in transition. Most sports books have them at, 5.5 over under?
Yeah.
So it would just tell me, we're going to throw a dart on one of these third rounders just to see, and then we go 5-12, and we're going to be right back here. This time we're going to have the 6th pick, and we will be able to move up and get, whether it's Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, one of those guys. But I agree. It's, again, it would suggest that, man, what happened? Because you didn't do anything. You paid Russell Wilson $85 million in dead cap space to go away.
Yes.
And you end up with a third rounder. I agree. The optics of it would be alarming. I would only then the breadcrumbs I would follow would be, man, they must really like one of these quarterbacks in next year's draft because that's not the answer of, you know, Rattler, DiNucci, Stidham. Now, again, Rattler might turn into be something. And you're like, okay, we're in a great position. Not unlike the Seahawks were with Russell Wilson, 12 years ago. But I would suggest if it's just a third-round pick, then they must believe that they're going to either be in the draft next year or take a run at, like, Dak Prescott in free agency.
Troy, it's quiet news right now, all right, with the Courtland Sutton situation. But it looks like it could be brewing. What's your take on it? And is Courtland Sutton going to be a Denver Bronco after the draft?
I don't think he's going to be a Bronco this season. After the draft, I don't know when that would happen. I mean, I wrote in my column today, listen, he deserves praise. He does not deserve a raise. His contract's fair, man. I mean, he averages, over the life of his first two years of this contract, he's right at 800 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he's above average receiver to average. I mean, that's who he is. And if you want to say that, hey, I'm watching receivers get paid and Jerry Jeudy just got $41 million. That's another mistake by the lake. What are we talking about? If you're following the Cleveland Browns for contract advice, that's like following Spinal Tap for advice for drummers. They are terrible with contracts. Yeah. And if we all rip Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson's the worst contract in professional sports. $230 million guaranteed. He's awful. Awful. So if you're Sutton and you looked at Jeudy and said, I need a deal, I agree. You're better than Jerry Jeudy. But if you look at where he ranks, Phil, statistically, he's 38th leg in yards, 44th in receptions. And you're saying, well, he should get more targets. It's not his fault. He needs better quarterback play. There's 28 guys who had 1,000 yards receiving last year, including Garrett Wilson on the Ken Hackett offense with the Jets.
Yeah.
If you're a dude, you still roll out of bed and get 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I like Courtland Sutton. I do. But there's no way in hell I'm giving him a raise. If this is him trying to get out of here, and say, you know what, Uncle, I've had enough of this clown car quarterback show. I want quarterback stability. That I understand, where it's like arms in the air. I'm not showing up because I want you to trade me. That makes sense.
Yeah,
if he thinks he deserves a raise, I would say respectfully, no.
I like it.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect place to leave it. Troy, thanks so much for your time today, and we hope to do this again next week.
You got it, my man. Take care. See you guys. Have a great rest of your show.
Oh, I appreciate that. There's Troy Rank, Denver Post columnist. He deserves praise, but not a raise.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's not like Sutton, and this is, again, Sutton's a good player.
He's a solid player.
He's solid.
Number two receiver. Let's just put it out there. Number two.
He wasn't, on the doorstep of 1,000 yards either.
No.
He was hundreds of yards away from being a 1,000-yard receiver. And when you have 28 of those guys who are getting there, there are not 28 great quarterback situations. We see guys like Terry McLaurin, no matter who he's performs, Brandon Cooks,
man, I'm telling you, I got to see it firsthand. Is this some receivers are just like that.
Yeah.
They're going to go out there and they are going to get 1,000 yards just because they are fast or explosive. They're good.
Yeah. And the one area I cannot go, I cannot go. And Troy suggested, and I'm not saying Troy was saying this is what they're doing or advocating for this idea, but he mentioned it. The one area where I refuse to go is that the plan for the Broncos is to pick a quarterback in next year's draft. No way, Jose. In the NFL, you don't plan for years out at the quarterback position. This just, you just don't do it, period. And like, and by the way, and you know, Troy said this in the fictitious scenario he was painting. It's like, yeah, they'll just go 5-12 and, you know, pick a quarterback next year. The plan is to not suck.
Yeah.
You moved on from Russell Wilson and took the biggest dead cap hit in the history of NFL football because it gave you a better chance to win. Mm. You can't go out there and suck on purpose because you don't have a quarterback.
But what,
you just moved on from the guy.
I agree. But the thing is, if you try to move up, get J.J. McCarthy, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
You end up kind of miscalculating things. Bo Nix is out the door. Then you're like, okay, maybe Michael Pierce Jr. Then somebody goes and grabs him. Then who?
Then
what are we supposed to do then, Zach? Like, we have to pick somebody. It can't just be Jarrett Stidham. So it's like, at that point, you have to be able to pick what's best, the best option at quarterback. Like we've talked about before, what's the better option at quarterback? Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler, you know, it doesn't sound good to us. But that's something that may happen because this draft thing is so crazy.
It is. And if it falls like that, then it falls like that. It's going to blow. I mean, it's going to be awful, but that couldn't have been the plan. That's what I'm saying. Like, it can't be the plan as they went into the offseason that they go into the 2024 season with DiNucci, Stidham, and Rattler.
That's not the plan. That is not the plan. It never is a plan, though. That's why I always think in my head, I want the number one plan, but I love my number two plan. Because usually you're going to have to go with the number two plan. So you have to kind of love it. Now, you might not love it as much as the number one, but I still love it. And I want to know what that number two plan looks like in Sean Payton's head.
Yeah.
Because it may be the number two plan that we have to go with, which may not be a bad idea.
We'll see. I actually believe the number two plan in Sean Payton's head could very well be Jarrett Stidham.
It could be.
He loves that man.
He does.
He loves that man. And he believes in himself. And if you believe in yourself and you love that kid, that could break a tie 1 week from today. It could break a tie.
What's a better plan? Jarrett Stidham or someone like Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt?
Honestly, I'd probably say Jarrett Stidham.
So it might be the number two plan if they can't
it could be
a Bo Nix or Michael Pierce Jr.
You know, I'm seeing on the text line, do that trade with the Rams that Barnwell put out there. If you're just joining us and missed it, the Rams would get Pat Surtain and a fifth-round pick 2 years from now, and the Broncos would get the 19th overall pick, the Rams' first-round pick next year, and a third-round pick this year, which is the 99th overall. Someone says, yeah, do that trade, but don't move up. Take Brock Bowers at 12 and Michael Penix at 19.
I like it. It seems like a plan. You know, it seems more of a plan. You get Brock Bowers, who I love.
Phil, I would be excited.
You know, and Michael Pierce Jr., I think, is one of the most talented throwers in this draft class. Like, I think that's a win. You know, I don't think that's their number one plan, but I think it's a better plan than just rolling out there with Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, and Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Still 7 days to go. Still 7 days to go for the NFL draft.
It's like Christmas with that little Santa Claus thing. You're moving on the calendar.
Yes.
You're like, we got 5 days left, y'all.
Yes.
Long.
And you can kind of see the gift there under the tree, but you don't know what it is. Is it a gift?
I'm shaking the box. I'm ripping the paper just a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, thank goodness we don't have to wait too much longer. We are within a week of the NFL draft. All right, I have a question about the Colorado Avalanche. Their playoffs might be starting this weekend. We're still waiting on the official date, but we're hearing whispers. We'll tell you what we're hearing. Also, if I presented two options for the Colorado Avalanche as we enter the playoffs, which would you choose if you could only pick one? I'll bounce that scenario off Phil coming up next. just say yes to signing up for the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back. We're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Wouldn't that be something if the pro basketball team from Denver was in the Pro Basketball Championship in June and you were there with two tickets to the game for free? Round trip airfare for you and a friend for free. Two nights hotel stay for free. $500 just cause. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, good news, you're already locked in. You're part of the club. All right, and you're entered into this to this one. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future Fan Flyaway contests. Literally no downside. The upside is a trip and a memory of a lifetime. All right, at the bottom of hour number four on a Thursday.
It flew by, man.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're having fun. Appreciate all the interaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, which a lot of reaction to the conversation about trade potentially involving Pat Surtain. Someone says Phils needs to quit talking about Michael Penix Jr. Too many surgeries, man. It's not going to last.
Who does he want? Who does that guy want?
Good question. I'll ask you. I'll put your name on it. Give you a shout out.
You got to put your name on it so we can have a little fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a question for you and Drew and KJ. Okay.
Uh-oh.
What if I had a Colorado Avalanche magic lamp? You ever see Aladdin?
I love Aladdin.
I love Aladdin, too.
Do you love the cartoon? You love the real version?
I don't even acknowledge the real version. Like the cartoon.
Shame on you.
The cartoon.
Real version's good. Will Smith did a great job.
Did he?
He did, man. He did.
I only acknowledge the Disney version. Did you guys see the newer Aladdin?
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. The real version was not good.
KJ, have you seen the new Aladdin?
I have not. I've only seen the cartoon.
Okay.
We got some haters in the building. I'm going to have to call Will Smith. You know what he does, but he doesn't like.
You just can't replace Robin Williams with Will Smith and think it's going to be all good.
Oh, yeah. Man. You're never going to be able to replace Robin Williams. He's the greatest to do it.
Yeah. And I do get a kick out of, like, when my kids watch movies that I love that stand the test of time.
Right. You're right.
There's something to that. You know what he was watching this morning? We let him watch probably almost an hour now in the mornings before preschool.
Okay.
He gets some screen time. And he likes Toy Story.
I love Toy Story.
Toy Story. Do you know what year Toy Story came out?
Maybe like 92?
95.
Okay,
95. So close. 95. That movie holds up so well.
I mean, look at how it looks, though. Like, in 1995, the graphics?
It was next level.
Like, wow.
That was a Pixar, right? I mean, that was next level. And the way it's aged so gracefully is just insane. What the hell are we talking about? Oh, I found an Avalanche genie.
The genie.
I found a magic lamp. All right.
Let's go. We get all kind of wishes.
That's typically how it works. But the genie knows your history. He's like, this dude is he's been a bad boy. I heard from Santa.
He's a nut job.
and he's presenting you with two wishes, but you get to choose. Here's your two options. What would you rather have? The 17th best goal. This is for the Avs playoffs. The 17th best goaltender in the sport. Or Gabe Landeskog healthy and back for the playoffs. And the full context of the reason I'm saying the 17th best goaltender is because Georgie, that is just a tick below average. You are just a tick below average. Georgie has been worse than that. By goals against average, you're talking about, you know, Georgiev being ranked 34th. That's more goalies and we have teams in the NHL, which means backups are performing better than he is.
Yeah.
When it comes to save percentage, you're talking about Georgie being ranked 39th by save percentage. We said this past few days, if the Avs went on to win a cup with Alexander Georgiev, it would be the worst goaltending situation in the history of any Stanley Cup champion. But Gabe is a freaking stud.
Please elaborate on Gabe, not just as a captain, okay? Because I think that's something that we all know. He's a captain. He brings the energy. He's the soul of the team. He's the heartbeat of the team if he's healthy.
Yes.
But that's not just why he is who he is.
He's just a flat-out great player. 30 goals. The last season we saw Landy, 30 goals in 51 games. By the way, that went with 29 assists. 30 plus 29, Phil? I know you're not good at math. That's 59. 59 points in 51 games.
Yeah.
The guy's just an animal, but he's also like all those things that you said. So what would your choice be?
This is hard. I'm going to have to go with Gabe. Gabe Landeskog. Like you just can't. The last time that the Colorado Avalanche held up the trophy, the Stanley Cup, was when Gabe was healthy, when Gabe was there. Since Gabe has not been there, have we held up that trophy?
No.
And we had mediocre goalies.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, no, you know, for sure. Like, just make a save when it matters the most. That's all we want. And Georgiev has still yet to do that. But having Gabe back, man, it's a tremendous addition on top of bringing the energy, on top of what he brings to the table as a Colorado Avalanche, as a captain in on that ice. It has to be bringing Gabe back.
Drew Spivak, do you agree?
No. As much as I love Gabe, he's been one of my favorite Avalanche players since he arrived. The sheer fact that he's been out for two seasons, if he comes back now, even though we say, yes, he's healthy, that is 2 years without playing a game of hockey. You have absolutely no idea what you're going to get from Gabe. Is he even a top six player anymore if he comes back?
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. So you're clearly making sense.
Uh-huh.
I have some pushback, too. Hopefully we're on the same page.
But it's a genie. He is going to bring Gabe back in his 2022 form.
Ooh.
How does that change your answer? Because in my head, that's how I had it. I didn't have like a reacclimation ramp up period. Mm-hmm. It's spring 2022, Gabe.
I think I still have to go with the goalie.
Okay.
Because even though you've got Gabe, you got to have somebody that can keep the puck out of the net. So if you get just mediocre goaltending, if you're talking about the 15th, 16th, 17th best goaltender in the league, somebody averaging a 9-10, 9-12 save percentage, as opposed to what, an 8.96 like we have now with Georgiev, this team is winning a Stanley Cup even if you don't have Gabe.
Mm. Is the team winning a Stanley Cup with Val playing the way he is right now, with mediocre goalie that, say we get the genie, goalie, and our number two center not doing well, Casey Middlestad not doing his thing, are we still winning a cup?
Maybe. I like their chances better. It's a good question. But I like their chances better with better goaltending than I do with a fully healthy, from 2 years ago, Gabe Landeskog, compared to the goaltending we've got this year.
And then this is why I wanted to ask the question.
It's hard.
It's the 17th best goal. Yeah. I didn't say you get prime Wah or freaking Hashik or
fill in
the blank.
Who holds everybody accountable, and everybody plays better when Gabe's around. The goalie position is going to play better because Gabe's around. One, because he's going to bring something to the table on that ice. Two, he's going to hold Georgiev accountable. He's going to hold Val accountable, and he's going to hold Casey Middlestad accountable as well. Everybody's going to be hyphened, and it's going to be even better for us.
KJ, what do you think?
Phil, me and you are speaking the same language, man. The truth of the matter is you cannot have a world without Gabriel Landeskog in it. And he just has the ability to raise all boats. We clown Russ because he couldn't raise all boats. Well, Gabriel Landeskog, even without being a superstar, can raise all boats. And that's super important in hockey. You have to have a guy who can speak certain guys' language and just pull them to the side and say, hey, we got you. Hey, give me a strong 5-10 here. We got you. And it's just something about having a coach on the ice that I think really holds a lot of weight.
Give me the goaltender. Give me the goaltender.
You weren't listening to a word we said. You had it already made up in your mind, haven't you?
Mostly, yeah.
Look at that. Human beings, that's how you can't trust them.
I have a, let's just say this. Who do you think leads or where do you think the Avs stack up when it comes to goals per game this year in the NHL? I'm putting you on the spot, so don't overthink it. There's
like
no
goals,
like yeah, the amount of goals per game. Where do you think they average 3.67s, or excuse me, 3.67 goals per game?
Probably top 10.
It's definitely top 10. Drew?
I think it's probably even top 3.
KJ, where do you think they rank in goals per game?
Number 1.
It's number 1.
Mm.
The Avs? I know it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, right? It doesn't. But big picture, you zoom all the way out after 81 games, game 82 here in a few hours, number 1 scoring team in the NHL without Gabe. Give me the goaltender. Give me the goaltender.
You're acting like we're getting a goaltender that's won the Vezina.
No,
like,
I know. It'd be the 17th best goalie. I know.
I can't do it.
Hey, reasonable minds can disagree on it.
Not on this one.
Well,
not on this one.
Oh, you have a monopoly on the truth.
There is one name and one thing you can pick, and that's Gabe.
It's
Gabe.
It's the rock solid goaltending is what it is. we'll have Will break a tie here because it's 2-2, Will Peterson. Also, there was a press conference earlier today where an NFL general manager farted in the middle of it. I'm not kidding. We have the audio. And we'll play it for you next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
All right. Oh, gosh. All right. Let's. Help me out, fellas. Will Peterson, DenverSports.com. I want to get your answer on this fictitious scenario I laid out, but real quick, I want to pay off the tease. There is a viral tweet going around social media of Jacksonville general manager Trent Baalke, and allegedly he farted like in an egregious like way that lacks tact in a professional setting in a press conference and said excuse me after.
That egregious.
it was egregious. And I don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe it because I question everything in 2024. Like, yeah. Is this some edited video? So I'm going to play it. KJ, if you could just lower that volume just for a second. And there's no way of knowing, I guess, for the listener, but this is what the viral tweet sounds like.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
That's real. Do you see him pause?
He did. He did pause, and he did say, excuse me.
And you heard the fart, but, like, the fart was kind of in the seat.
Ugh. I'm going to play it one more time, okay? I want to play it one more time.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
All right. It's the last segment here. There's typically... I'm going to typically leave this kind of stuff for the morning show. All right.
we beat him to it.
Do you guys believe that this actually happened?
I do.
Will?
I do too. I mean, if it doesn't, we're all in trouble. Because then, guess what? Someone's going to make an AI video of you farting on 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, dude, we're a couple months from that. Yeah. We're a couple months from me. Yes, I'm being a video, like saying something I'm actually not saying. That's
scary.
The downside of AI is going to be so impactful.
That's scary.
We're already seeing it, actually, unfortunately, around the country. Okay, Will, real quick, before we do the top five of the night, presented by High Five Plumbing. If I gave you the option, you could have the 17th best goaltender for the Avalanche during the playoffs, which is, I made the analogy, it's like my golf game. We're trying to get from awful to mediocre. And that's what that would represent. Or you could get a healthy 2022 version of Gabe Landeskog. What would you pick?
Healthy version of 2022 Gabe Landeskog. This team doesn't have a leader, fellas. That's what Gabe was. He was a leader, night in, night out. You can't wear the C on your tuxedo while you're sitting in the locker room watching the game. You got to be on the ice with the fellas. This team had two leaders in 2022. Two! One, they let walk to Calgary, and they picked Valeri Nichushkin over him. That was Nazem Kadri. And two, hasn't played a game since they hoisted the cup. That's Gabe Landeskog.
All right. I think reasonable minds can disagree on this one, which is why I wanted to ask the question. Phil, the Drive's top five of the night brought to you by High Five Plumbing. It is a slow night in sports. What will you do with your time?
Very slow. I guess I'm going to look out the window and count the hours until we get to see some... hockey, man. Some playoff hockey getting ready to happen here because what's happening first? Oh, the Denver Nuggets first, and then maybe the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, so I think we're hearing Sunday might possibly be the case. That's
which would line up Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Thursday night, the Broncos QB future will be at stake. The Nuggets Lakers game 3, the Avalanche Jets game 3. A week from tonight may be one of the craziest nights in Denver sports history.
Wow. Wow.
So I guess just watch anything I can watch, man. What's on TV?
The Avalanche.
Well,
yeah, we still got a game. We got game 82. Yeah,
I just understand.
That's my bad, because
this is the dress rehearsal, bro. Bednar said everyone's playing.
I don't know if it's a dress rehearsal.
Bro, if he didn't think they needed McKinnon would not be playing tonight. Kale would not be playing. Miko would be playing. He says you guys have sucked the last 10 games, so y'all go play before the playoffs.
Because it's his turn to have the MVP. He needs to finish off to finish it out. But if this was a dress rehearsal, why is Georgiev not playing?
Because maybe he's leaning toward Anderson in game one, which I've been slamming the table for 3 weeks.
You're gonna see him. You're not gonna see him in game one, but you'll see him.
Yeah, if he shuts out the Oilers tonight?
Who?
Anderson. He's playing goal tonight.
Well, I still
think you're gonna see Georgie in game one.
Like, are the starters on the other side?
McDavid's playing. Draisaitl's playing. You're downplaying this game, man.
I'm downplaying it, too. It means absolutely nothing.
In the standings, right? But from a morale point, it means a lot tonight.
We've talked about it. I don't think so.
Real quick, Drew, what are you looking for tonight?
I'm watching the game tonight, of course. I like the fact that the Avs are playing the guys. Bednar said he asked a bunch of them if they didn't want to play. They all said, no, we're playing tonight.
So Bednar asked them if they wanted to play. That's important wrinkle there.
So they want to get right. They know, hey, we got to get this ship going in the right direction if we want to make a run in the playoffs. It starts tonight.
Yeah, you don't think Nathan McKinnon knows the boys need to play tonight?
Oh, that's
different. He's probably feeding them celery sticks and telling them going to play.
Different than the scenario you just said when exactly. Bednar said, get your butt out there.
So you're telling us that everybody said they want to play but Georgiev. Georgie said, I'm going to sit this one out.
KJ, what are you looking for tonight?
Oh, my gosh, this guy.
Tonight, I'm going to be watching Grownish with my sister. She has prom tomorrow. Don't know when the next time I'll see her. So tonight, we gotta watch our show. So
Wow. Prom tomorrow? Wow. All right.
I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll tell you tomorrow. No, I'm going to be watching the Avs. Although, let's say this. You want a fun storyline for tonight? Tonight is the fourth time in NHL history that two guys who have put up 130 points share the same ice.
Mm.
And that's Connor McDavid and Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah, but Phil's going to be looking out the window.
He did say that. He said looking out the window.
Okay, looking out the window. You got the two best players in the world playing at Ball Arena. Enjoy that window.
I'm going to enjoy it because, you know what? I don't want to see Anunin because Anunin is not going to be playing in the playoffs.
Anunin will be playing in the playoffs.
Georgiev is.
And Georgiev will start. You will see Anunin. All right, we got to step aside. It's Denver Sports Tonight coming up next.